Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And He loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Forget Christian nationalism. Let's talk Catholic integralism. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you're not familiar with this term that has indeed existed for centuries. The concept, basically, that the Roman Catholic Church should play a heavy role, insert a great deal of influence on the government. Does that sound familiar? It should, because that sounds a lot like Catholic nationalism, which we might do well to call Protestant nationalism, because there is a distinction, not huge, but there is a distinction between Protestant nationalism, which is increasingly all the rage these days, and Roman Catholic integralism. Why this subject on Wretched Radio? Because it's unclear where J.D. Vance stands on the subject of Catholic integralism, although it does appear that he is leaning in that direction, where he believes that the Roman Catholic Church should indeed play some sort of a role in the governing of America. That's worth considering, isn't it? Let me share with you the influences on J.D. Vance, and then we'll dive into Catholic integralism. His influences, as he has cited. Now, this, please note, this comes from Politico, but it was just pithily done, and I think mostly accurate, and cited in other sources. Patrick Deanan is a professor of political theory at the University of Our Mother, Our Woman. He wrote a book called Regime Change, published in 2023. He's a conservative Catholic. He argued for a peaceful revolution to replace liberalism with a post-liberal order. When you hear the word liberal in this context, don't think wacky Joe Biden. Don't think wacky Kamala Harris liberalism. I think the idea of liberty, that people have the right to exercise their religion, etc., grounded in the promotion of conservative and religious values rather than the protection of individual rights. You should hear that if you are, say, a Baptist or you believe in a separation of church and state and go, wait a second, what do you mean by that? That we don't want to protect individual rights, which means people have the liberty to exercise their faith in any way they see fit. This is something different. J.D. Vance has publicly cited Deanan as a major intellectual influence, and he appeared on a panel with him at a book launch for the book Regime Changed. This was at a Catholic university in 2023. Vance identified himself as a member of the post-liberal right and said he views his role in Congress as explicitly anti-regime. Does anybody know what that means? Not yet, but a good Christian journalist should be asking those questions. Another influence is Curtis Yarvin. He's often cited as the house philosopher of the new right. He promotes something called neo-reactionary movement. He and his followers reject the quest for progress as the core of political life. He believes American democracy has simply become a corrupt oligarchy run by elites who strive to consolidate their power rather than serve the public interest. The solution is to give way to a monarchical leader styled after a startup CEO, a national CEO, or what's called a dictator, his word, who can debug the American political order like a computer programmer debugging some bad code. Vance says he considers him a friend, cites his writings in connection with his plan to fire a significant number of civil servants. So he definitely, J.D. Vance definitely has been influenced to some degree by Roman Catholic thinkers about how the government should be run. There are those who would say that he might rightly identify as a Catholic integralist. Let's study this, courtesy of uscatholic.org. So this isn't wacko. This is uscatholic.org describing Catholic integralism. They believe that rendering God true worship is essential to the common good. That's interesting. What implications do we have here for atheists, agnostics? And that political authority therefore has the duty of recognizing and promoting the true religion. And the true religion, of course, they would say is, of course, Roman Catholicism. This maybe sounds like, hey, isn't that the way it was kind of done in Western Europe for centuries? It should. Eusebius of Caesarea in the 4th century, he was the first, he was talking about Constantine, the first Christian emperor of Rome, if you will, as invested with a semblance of heavenly sovereignty and framing his earthly government according to the pattern of the divine original, feeling strength in its conformity to the monarchy of God. The aim of the Catholic integralist is the integration of religious authority and political power. All of that raises the question, is J.D. Vance a Roman Catholic integralist? The answer is, nobody knows at this moment. I suspect we'll find out as he figures it out. Why? Because the volumes that have been written on church-state relations go back to the early church fathers. I doubt that as a new Catholic convert, J.D. Vance has this totally figured out, but it is well worth noting he's at least getting himself exposed to the idea of Roman Catholic integralism. Now, perhaps you're thinking, Friel, did you just say that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics? I don't recall saying that, either expressly or inferred. In fact, I would say Christians should be involved in politics. The question, of course, is how and to what end. That's where the debate is. I am absolutely for Christians voting. I am absolutely for Christians being involved on the local level in the political realm. I am absolutely thumbs up. You go, man. You go, woman. If you want to run for office and you want to bring your Christian values into the political realm to try to promote human flourishing, I say rock on. But I'll go a step further to demonstrate I'm not all squishy on the subject of political involvement. Let me share with you a couple of evidences that I think we've lost our way as Christians when it comes to engaging the political realm. Let me begin with this text from the ERLC in regard to Joe Biden stepping down. Not only is this a historic decision, it's the right decision for our nation. Despite what some partisans will say, aren't you partisan by definition, ERLC? To walk away from the power is a selfless act, the kind that has become all too rare in our culture. And wow, did they take a beating for that? And that's a sign, that's an organization which, in my opinion, love you Southern Baptists, I don't think should exist. What a denomination, what a convention is doing with a political action committee division, I do not understand that. But that comment, come on, what is that? Joe Biden was being brave? How's about he's evil and we sure do hope he repents before he dies? That is how we would be talking as a Christian in the political realm. Second example, I hold in my never before nicotine stained fingers an open letter to President Joe Biden. This was last week. It made its way through the internet and it was written by Christian conservatives. And I couldn't help but notice, there was nothing overtly Christian in this long letter. What did they address in this open letter? We write to give to you with grave concern about the radical agenda your administration is imposing on the American people. What are those issues? Threatening our democracy. We're not a democracy. Undermining religious liberty. Devaluing the sanctity of life. Here's how close they got to sounding Christian in this letter. In blatant defiance of your own expressed Catholic faith, you uplift the right to painfully kill unborn children and have expressed the desire to codify it into federal law. Gotta keep going, Christians. If we're going to engage in the political realm, we must do it with a Christian voice. How's about, and you must repent. The blood of children is on your hands. Repent. That's Christian engagement in the political realm. Not just acting like a pack, dividing people by race. Mm-hmm. Risking America's welfare through open borders, threatening the well-being and safety of women, foreign policy that weakens America, destroying the economy, corrupting and harming the welfare of America through LGBTQ theology, or ideology, I should say, because I'm afraid there's no theology in here. That would have been an opportunity to, you know, quote the Bible. Nothing. Nothing. It hardly sounded like City of God, City of Man, where Augustine, or Augustine if you live in Florida, he just went after the Roman government, denouncing it as being pagan and evil, and they must repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ. And that is where we Christians should find ourselves engaging in politics. We should be screaming at Washington. We should be yelling at our state houses. Not get your tax policies in alignment with Republican values, but repent. You are sinning and you will die in your sins. That is the message of the Christian to anyone in politics who is acting wickedly. Jimmy, aren't going to get any email on this stuff. This is Wretched Radio.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transform.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, I've been thinking, we've got this radical goal of reaching millions all over the world. That's where you come in. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Because it could be your support that helps us reach that guy who's about to give up hope or the girl who thinks she's too far gone. Together, we could do something bigger than ourselves. You can get all of the details right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
I know now many wretched people are familiar with the Master's Academy International because you participated in our Bible distribution program to the Philippines. If you're at the internet and you visit wretched.org/pastor, you're going to discover Master's Academy International trains pastors internationally, 19 different locations. Thousands of men, as we speak, are being trained to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to strengthen Christ Church internationally? Please visit wretched.org/pastor. Pastor.
All right, listen up, folks. I've got some exciting news for you, because if you've been looking to share the gospel and make a real impact, then we've got the perfect thing for you at the Wretched Store at wretched.org. Of course, you've heard about our gospel booklets. Head over to wretched.org and stock up on these life-changing gospel booklets. Your friends, your family, and even complete strangers will thank you for sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Gospel booklets available now at wretched.org.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. And if you want to be encouraged, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Time for a confession. This is Wretched Radio. Every time I bring up the early church father, A-U-G-U-S-T-I-N-E, I say Augustine or Augustine, unless, of course, you're from Florida. Why do I do that every time? Because I'll be honest with you, I can never remember which one is pronounced for which one. Every single time I goof it up in my brain. I have a few of those things. This is nothing you asked for, but hey, you got, everybody thinks a little differently. When I'm thinking and trying to express my thoughts, it's almost like a highway for me. I see the signs with the words on it. I know what's coming up next. I know what's going to happen in a mile, half a mile, and I know what those words are. Every time I see A-U-G-U-S-T-I-N-E, I go, uh-oh, I'm going to be in trouble because I don't even know how to say that. So what do? I try to cover by saying, so if you're from Florida, you can pronounce it that way. It's St. Augustine, and Augustine is the church father, right? Tennessee Jimmy Hicks?
We'll go with that.
Don't do that to me. Don't you leave me hanging,
well,
bro.
Don't drag me into your mess.
Let's go back in time, shall we? It was maybe a week or so ago, if you can call it a celebration, the anniversary of the Great Fire of Rome, 64 AD. Two-thirds of Rome went up in flames. Who was to blame? Of course, Nero blamed the Christians. Although I was watching a documentary on the Discovery Channel, and they said that wasn't true. You know, I think I'm going to go with everybody else instead of the Discovery Channel on that one. A century and a half after Nero's attacks, Tertullian, North African, quipped, quote, "If the Tiber rises too high or the Nile too low, the remedy is always feeding Christians to the lions." Little bit dark, but if that was an accepted phrase, in 410, or a century and a half after, so this would be about 210-ish. That's because there was a whole lot of persecution going on. Please note, it did ebb and it did flow. It ebb and flow? Yeah. Augustine or Augustine? Now I've got another road sign to look out for. Sometimes it was intense, other times not so much, but nevertheless, really? Until Constantine's edict that Christianity was an acceptable religion. Now, this takes us back to the Council of Nicaea, where we didn't codify the Bible. They were dealing with Christological heresies, and Constantine made the proclamation that the Christian religion should not be persecuted. It was several decades, about 50, 60, 70 decades later, that it was indeed made the religion of the state. And guess what? In 410, pagan writers suggested that the sacking of Rome by German tribes would not have happened had Rome not abandoned her gods for a supposedly immoral Christianity. And that led the man from Florida, or Hippo, to respond with a massive treatment of the subject of government and the kingdom of God. He titled it City of God, City of Man. It was the City of God against pagans, I think was like the full title. Jimmy, would you look that up? Wikipedia will have it. There's the City of God against pagans, I think is what it was called. Language we wouldn't even use these days. And he wrote a treatment. It was a two-parter, multiple chapters, but the first 10 chapters, at least, were a screed against Rome, that they were being pagans and that they needed to repent. That is how the church should talk to the state. Yes, the church has interest in economic issues. So if we want to speak into the realm, the jurisdiction of the government, terrific. Let's just make sure we sound like Christians. why would we want a government to alter its tax policies? Because if they are not fair, if they are being wicked, if they are unbiblical, we should call them on it. While quoting chapter and verse, if you don't mind me saying so. Jimmy, you got it? City of God?
Yeah, on the city of God against the pagans.
There you have it right there. I have, for your consideration, in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers, some quotes from August. Can I tell you something else? Because, hey, catharsis is good for the soul. You know those road signs that I see with words on them? There are times. It doesn't happen a ton, mercifully, but the sign is blank. I'm telling you, my heart kind of does a little pitter-patter because I don't know what my word is for what I'm thinking that I want to express with my mouth. It's not a panic attack, but it's heading in that direction. And what do I have to do? Take the nearest exit ramp because I don't know where I'm going all of a sudden. Friel, we suspect that happens way more than you're letting on. This is from City of God against pagans. What was the full title of that deal? Well, you deleted it already.
On the city of God against the pagans.
There you have it right there. This is from Book 3, Chapter 31. Such, then, is the virtue which the Romans worship in their false gods, not the true virtue which leads to the true and blessed life. Now, please note, he was writing to encourage Christians. When these pagans were accusing in 410 the Christians of being the ones who were at fault for Rome being overrun by the Germanic hordes, he was responding to encourage Christians. Nevertheless, it wasn't a criticism of the Roman government, how they were building the aqueducts. No, he was regularly calling them to repentance. That's the message of the church to the state. Book 5, Chapter 12. Augustine critiques the Roman desire for glory and earthly power, urging them to seek repentance. Quote, "They're far from knowing the eternal city and the blessed life of the saints, which is the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We invoke the name of Jesus when we talk to the government. He's their authority. He's everybody's authority. And I couldn't help but notice in a lengthy screed to the, well, I guess he's still the president for now anyway, a letter to Joe Biden from some Christians, some evangelicals. Nothing about Jesus, nothing about repentance, all political concerns. Again, yes, let's speak to the government about political concerns. And you can even act as an American citizen. And if you want to sign something about tax policies or whether they should spend the money on the roads, I'm not saying don't do that. But what I am saying is if we're going to speak to the government as Christians, as the church, we should sound like Christians. I think that distinction is worth camping on just for a second. You might be hearing me say, so I shouldn't ever be involved in anything except to preach at the government? No. But as a citizen, you can do those things. If you want to go to a school board meeting that has to do with the spending of funds, rock on. Rock up as a citizen. But when we speak as Christians, for Christians, on behalf of the Christian church, it should have a distinct tenor to it, shouldn't it? The content of it should be radically different than just an American citizen. Back to Augustine, Book 6, Chapter 12. He denounces the Roman tendency to seek earthly pleasures and power instead of repenting. Let them give heed to our supplication and learn that the only remedy for their wounds is to turn to God with their whole heart and to confess their sins. That's how we speak to political leaders. As Christian, that's the message of the church. From the Book 1, Chapter 9, let them give over blaming the Christian religion and rather blame their own vices and the sins of wicked men, for which the just and good God has seen fit. Give them over to the calamities that they deserve. Oof. Book 1, Chapter 33. For in their sacred rites, they have dared to call those demon gods who have persuaded them to imitate their own abandoned licentiousness. And in so doing, they have most deservedly been subjected to the dominion of those whom they have chosen for their protectors. Hence, the citizens of this earthly city prefer their own gods to Christ, and they seek no more from their gods than will suffice for the peace of their earthly life. That is how we speak as Christians, not necessarily as citizens, but as Christians. Book 5. Let the pagans then cease to revile the Christian religion, for it is in the church that the promise of the fulfillment is found. And on Book 4, Chapter 3, Book 4, Chapter 15, Book 5, Chapter 19, Book 1, Chapter 35, Book 14, Chapter 30, on and on and on it goes. He was writing that they would, quote, escape the divine wrath. That's how a Christian thinks. That's how a Christian speaks. We have even greater concerns. I didn't say they weren't concerns. We have greater concerns than mere political activities. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.